I speak to you in the name of the Lord of glory. Amen. Amen. When I was a young priest, I used to see now and then an article by a distinguished senior priest entitled, If I Had One Sermon to Preach. I don't remember any of those articles being very memorable, and I forgot about that species of sermon until recently. A few years ago, there was a popular professor in Pittsburgh who, on discovering that he had only a short time to live, gave his last lecture. In this age of social media, it went viral, as they say, and was widely disseminated and widely heard. Unless you are threatened with a young death, you don't generally think about last sermons or last advice or last lectures until you reach old age and become aware of the shortness and uncertainty of life. You realize that you have, in fact, accumulated considerable wisdom about life or your profession, and there's a great hunger to pass it on, to do what you can do to assist others in living a good life. Actually, you know there are not any magic formulas. You have learned that nothing can be reduced to a short, pithy phrase. I have been asked many times by couples in premarital counseling how to make a marriage last and endure. After being married for almost 50 years, I finally began to say, keep adjusting. That's all I can say. The bargain you started with is sure to change, so keep adjusting. But even if these last moments are hard to capture, they still happen. And tonight, we are gathered in this place to remember Jesus' last things. His last supper with his friends, his last Passover celebration, his last opportunity to extend his mission to those he loved. And it's worth pausing to find out what happened on this last time. Jesus could have impressed on his disciples the need to watch out for their enemies, to take cover from those who would threaten them. Jesus could have given a small lecture on the poison of betrayal. Jesus could have asked for a show of hands in support of him. But he did none of those things. On his last night as a free man, Jesus did this. He kept Passover. As he and his ancestors had done for generations, he kept Passover. He broke the bread of freedom and drank the cup of blessing, and remember that God brings liberty and life and hope to those who are oppressed and in despair. Second, Jesus made sure that all his friends were with him, even the one who was to betray him. It is hard to imagine the joy and sorrow flowing around the table that night, but they were all there. And third, Jesus gave only two bits of advice. Love one another and show that love by serving each other and keep eating together. When you do, I will be with you. There was nobody there that night to take a video and post it on Facebook. We have no autographed edition of Jesus' last night or his last words, but those who were there remembered what he did and remember what he said. Over the next terrible days, through the desolation of his death and the jolt of his resurrection, they remembered. And when the time came for them to step forward in faith, they recalled his last words and deeds and lived by them. This last testament was never forgotten. Over the days and months and years and generations and centuries, it has been remembered. It is not just pithy advice about how to live and stay out of trouble. It is not a magic formula to make all sorrows vanish. But it has proven its worth again and again. Better than any last lecture or last sermon, The last words and deeds of Jesus still sound fresh and bold. They still call to us. They still invite us to love one another and to gather at the table to remember Jesus' death and his resurrection. Over the years, we have discovered no substitute for loving one another and serving each other. Every alternative dies a wasted death. And we are still gathering around the table, as we will do tonight, to sing the canticle of freedom, to break the bread of thanksgiving, and share the cup of blessing. It has sustained us till now. It will keep us going forever. Amen.